Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. Today, I'm excited to have a new friend and be able to introduce him to you at the same time that I'm introduced to him. So it's wonderful. And I just love seeing younger generation with expertise and talent that can help us drive forward. So, and he's in my neighborhood. He lives nearby. So it's exciting. Qasim Aslam is an incredible human being in the digital marketing space. He's the founder and CEO of Solutions 8, and he's agreed to share some of his brilliance and wisdom with us. Qasim, thank you so much for joining me.
Sharon, thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to you.
Well, you are considered one of the top Google ads agencies, which to me is like Greek, obviously. And so we're always looking for that expertise. And I talk about, focus on your strengths and hire your weaknesses. So I would say a lot of us watching and listening, Google's ads are probably in our area of weaknesses. So I want to learn from you today and have you share your brilliance. But I think it's always good. I like to start my interviews with asking our guests to share a little bit about little Qasim. How did you get started? How did you get into this world of digital marketing?
What's interesting, and I actually would challenge anybody who's listening to test me on this. Just about anybody who owns a digital marketing agency was an entrepreneurial failure from another category. And usually what happens is we fail at everything else, but realize, oh, I was kind of good at the marketing piece. So I'm just going to stay in that lane, which is exactly what happened. I am a wonderful, wonderfully adept failure. And by the time I got to the end of the road, marketing was all that was left for me. And here I am.
So you have had incredible experience. Your bio that I have is amazing. You've all won all kinds of awards. Your book, The 7 Critical Principles of Effective Digital Marketing, is something I probably should read. Absolutely. And you, of course, have graced stages with your brilliance. So tell us a little bit, certainly with things that have changed with Facebook and Google and all the algorithms that change all the time. Talk to us about the steps that you recommend people start with when they're looking at getting into Google Ads and getting started.
My narrative is going to be counterintuitive. I don't think that Google Ads is where you should start.
Okay.
And I don't think it's where you should live long-term. Now, I own a Google Ads agency, and one of my primary key performance indicators internally is retention. I want people to stay with me for as long as I can have them. But Google Ads is a really expensive way to pay for attention. And that's all it is. When, Gary Vee said something that really struck me. He goes, I just day trade attention. And that's really what all of us do. If you're online and you're attempting to navigate traffic in any way, you're looking to capture somebody's attention. And you can do that in a myriad of ways. You can do it organically with SEO. You can do it through community building, things like what you're doing here, Sharon. Or you can pay for it. And you can pay for it, Facebook, TikTok, Google, it doesn't matter. It's a pay-to-play ecosystem. The problem with paying for it is it's such an expensive way to learn really easy lessons. And the analogy that I like that I'm stealing from Ryan Dice is when you drive traffic to untested offers, it's like pouring water into a leaky bucket. And the funny thing about that I've seen often is people blame the water. Like, oh, I tried Google Ads and it didn't work. And in my mind, I'm like, no, your business didn't work. Like somebody went, I'm a chiropractor, and somebody goes to Google and says, I need chiropractic help right now today. That is the perfect lead. And if they go to your website and they don't call, they don't click, they don't schedule, you did something wrong. And I don't care what the business is, e-commerce, SaaS, professional services, it doesn't matter. Google is going to shine a bright spotlight on every fail point at every step of the sales process in your business. So please don't learn those lessons. It's so easy to learn those lessons other ways. And then when you're ready to scale, that's when Google is truly, all hyperbole aside, the most powerful marketing mechanism in existence.
Well, I know certainly our experience, most of my early success was basically all generic. It was all, it was not paid traffic. It was basically organic traffic. And then when we started doing our online courses, we started dabbling in Facebook ads, and then we've done some Google ads. And I'll be the first one to admit we have lost money, which is a huge issue, but we haven't been able to scale the way we had hoped to. And so it's always understanding what is the next, how can we fine tune it? How can we make it better? And I think I always say, let's test, right? A/B testing always to see what works, what the lift is. And then all of a sudden things that were working don't work anymore. And it can be a very frustrating thing, which is why you need to have somebody on your team who's an expert. And so talk a little bit about how you create a strategy and your philosophy on a digital marketing strategy, which is both organic and paid.
Absolutely. I think that this is going to get a little touchy-feely, Sharon, but I have a feeling that your audience specifically will resonate maybe more than others. I feel very strongly that you can't serve somebody that you don't love. And I use the word love, but some folks might we can say heart or care for or empathize with. It doesn't matter how we contextualize it. We have to truly want the best for whoever is going to be the recipient of this offer. And so before we do anything from a traffic perspective, we need to make sure that the thing that we're putting in front of these people, these prospects, is in their best interest, and then articulate it in a way that really shows what the end result is going to be. The end result of having a car isn't just driving, right? Like, how does that car make you feel? How does it elevate your status? What does it do for your kids when you pull? Like, there's so many layers of complexity. So, course, coaching, service, it doesn't matter. We need to there's a quote by Khalil Gibran that I really love. He says that work is love made visible. We need to show the way that this will connect them to whatever amount of love we're bringing into the world. And again, those words make people really uncomfortable. So feel free to kind of sterilize it however it is you need to sterilize it.
Well, I absolutely love it because I think it's wonderful, because I say when I'm talking to my clients and mentoring them, I said, I don't like the word funnel because it's so sterile. I go, what's the customer journey? What is the journey you want your client or your customer to take on? Again, from the heart, what's their experience, and how can you lead them down the path that's going to give them the maximum reward for working with you? So,
well, you just nailed it. You asked me, how do we define the strategy? That's the answer. What's the path that this person needs to take in order to experience this end result? And if you want to do this really well, show them the path sans your product or service. Hey, person who I'm serving, I help Montessori schools grow. Here's exactly how a Montessori school could grow. And you could even do this without me. Now, if you want to do it faster, cheaper, better, whatever the value proposition is, I'm here for you as well. But we're moving into this really interesting phase of not just marketing, but it's also kind of the core structure of the world of commerce has changed to give first, this give first paradigm. And the people that do it well are going to benefit. So build a community, serve that community by giving to them, and you can give them the end result that you're promising, and then just find a way to deliver it faster, better, cheaper, et cetera, in order to monetize off that end result.
I love that. And I think, it's putting the heart back into it, right? So I think we've got the digital market is data, 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 and everything is so driven on data these days. But it's when you've got the data, it's important to have the data, got to have the data, but not losing heart of the message and the journey that you want a customer to go on. I talk about, do you sell or do you serve? So digital marketing, a lot of us out there just selling. And that is a transaction. So you have a train. Once you sell something, you got to find a new customer. But when you serve them and you understand the journey you want them to be on, you create a relationship. And that relationship creates a lifetime lifetime value of the customer, keeps them on that journey. And I think that's what you're talking about. Love them, you know, have the heart in what you're doing.
Absolutely. Right? In my book, one of the seven critical principles, I talk about how to use empathy being the core and most important principle. And then I say that digital marketing is just relationship building online. That's all you're doing. You're building a relationship with a person. And the best way to build a relationship is to give. And, you know, to the point that you made about data, the data shows this. Google's new paradigm, they just introduced a new product called Performance Max, which is amazing. We're seeing phenomenal results with it. But it's based off of a 500 touch paradigm. You have to expect to be in front of somebody. You know, there's an old marketing statistic from, I think it was like a 1970s Harvard Business School study, where they say it takes 7 touches before somebody's ready to convert. That hasn't been true for years, but it's survived up until this point. What Google is telling us now is you have to expect to touch somebody 500 times before they're ready to become a customer. And if you're not serving, if you don't have value-driven content, if you don't have something to say, there's no way to be in touch with somebody 500 times. Everything you have to say without that value ends up becoming vapor. Like, they'll see through it too quickly. So we're in a position where you have to serve or you're not going to get the visibility.
Yeah, it's so true. And I think with the speed of viral marketing, the speed of the lack of physical touch and, you know, face-to-face communication going online, it's even more important to get the feeling of really care and understanding what somebody else, what issues they're dealing with and how you can help them get past it in your messaging and how you present yourself to create that relationship that you're talking about.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So what do you see for the future of digital marketing?
If you would have asked me that question in December, I would have had a very different answer. I was honestly a little afraid. Like, iOS just rolled out, the iOS 14 update destroyed all Facebook ad campaigns. Visibility has been removed. Privacy first paradigm, GDPR, European Union killing Google Analytics. Like, it's a very tumultuous time. And for the first time since the advent of the internet, we've gone backwards in our ability to see. It's been nothing but every year has been, oh, here's more data. Here's more visibility. Here's more spy tools. And then all of a sudden it was doors slamming left and right. Android's about to roll out its own version of the iOS update. So the lack of data and visibility is really interesting. On a granular scale, I'll tell you the most important thing a business can do for itself is prioritize first-party data acquisition. And I'll unpack that a little bit because it's not going to land well with everybody. And I know it sounds like gobbledygook, but it isn't. It's really important. We've been relying on all of these third-party tools to track usage information about the people that land on our websites and our digital properties. Well, they can't do that anymore. So now we need to track that information. And what's the part that should be heartening about it is it's not hard. If somebody comes to your site, Sharon comes to Custom Site, what pages does she go to? Track that. What videos does she watch? What is she, like, what are the things that she's doing? And all that's first-party data. And as first-party data, you can still use cookies, you can still use storage, you can use UTM parameters. None of that's going away. And you own that data. So the moment you convert on my website, I get to take all of that and pass it through that wall that, you know, that call it a data-driven paywall. And now I get to append that to your contact record and I get to see what happened over whatever span of time we're talking about. So if you're not tracking first party data, is it tedious? Yes. Is it hard? No. If you're go ahead.
No, what you just said, for all of you watching and listening, you've heard me say this in a very different way. So I talk about the value of adding value to your business and getting the valuation up in your business. And so how many of us are out there on all these social media platforms and we're bragging that we have 1 million followers here or 50,000 followers here, but you don't own them. Mm-hmm. And you can't determine how to access them because those platforms do. And so I tell people, Kasim, to invite them home, to bring them home to your database. Because once they're in your database, that's adding value to your organization, to your company. And you have the ability to understand more about what they want, what their desires are, and how they relate to you. No, don't keep them on social. Let them be there. That's a great lead generation. You want to be in social, but bring them home to your database. So that's what they've been hearing from me. And I think what you've just said is a much finer message to understand that. That's great.
Well, it sounds like you're way ahead of the curve too, because for me, this message is, it's a 2022 message. and we've all been spoiled. Everybody should have been doing this from the very beginning. You know, it's a core tenet and principle of marketing. The money's in the list, et cetera, et cetera. But we were spoiled by just the easy low hanging fruit. And then when that was ripped away, a bunch of people, myself included, we've all been caught with our pants down. And now we have to go, you know, there's the old proverb, the best time to build a tree is 20 years, or the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. Well, if you haven't planted your tree 20 years ago, that's okay. But start right now today, start building your list, aggregating emails, and they're going to be so valuable. With the, I mentioned Google's new Performance Max campaign type, which is unbelievable. What's interesting about it is the clients that have customer lists that I get to upload into Google, their time to life is a fraction. We get high performing campaigns so much faster, and the campaigns perform so much better because you're basically going to Google and saying, hey, here are the people that buy from me. Go find more people that look just like these.
I love that. The lookalike audience, right?
That's exactly right.
My layman terms over your technical explanation, which is brilliant. I appreciate that. And so that when you are looking at the future, in essence, what I'm hearing you say is a focus on the database, focus on that first line communication with your, and understanding what their habits are and their buying trends and their interests. And so from a standpoint of future marketing as it relates to Google Ads. Mm-hmm. What I heard you say was, you know, you don't always recommend people do that until they understand who they're looking for and what they want, have their messages fine-tuned. And how do they best accomplish that?
It's a good question. And, you know, I the answer I'm going to give you is one that annoys me. I'm going to say it depends. And it depends because it depends on your business. So oftentimes it's as easy as, let's say, a focus group. You know, let's say you have a SaaS product. So you sell software. Instead of running Google Ads to that software, get in front of 10, no more than that, 10 of your potential prospects. This could be cold call, LinkedIn outreach, buy a list. Get in front of 10 people and pitch them. Because what you'll hear are objections, questions, issues, concerns, things that they're like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know that did that. You're going to hear all of these sound bites and think to yourself like, oh gosh, I got to go rebuild my landing page. Because if you go pay me to drive those same people to your page, I'll give you that information. It'll take longer and it'll be way more expensive. So find whatever the path is. And you know, people are so obsessed with scale. I'm not going to do it unless it scales. All right, fine. God bless you. I have no idea how to do that cheaply. You can scale with expense. But what I would do is do the things that don't scale first. The guy who created Airbnb, and I don't know how much of a, you know, anecdote this is or how true it is, but I like it because it strikes at the heart of what I'm saying. The person who created Airbnb was in Silicon Valley trying to raise money for Airbnb. Well, he got so many questions about his prospect that he didn't know the answer to. He ended up moving to New York, which is where all of his customers were. And he started staying at the Airbnbs. So he would actually go and he'd rent the Airbnb and he'd pay for it. Then he'd stay at the, and that was how he learned, oh, these are the problems, the pain points. This is how I'm going to smooth these. You go do all of the feet on the street, pound the pavement, hard work first. Then when you're like, all right, I have a smooth runway. Now let's drive some ads. Now we can put some money behind it and you don't have to learn easy lessons the hard way.
I love that. Oh, wonderful. So tell me again about your book and how people can find it.
It's called The 7 Critical Principles of Effective Digital Marketing. They really only need the first three principles, to be honest with you. It's split into paradigm principles and then process principles. The process principles are only if you're going to run a marketing agency. And so it's something that I wrote to with an attempt at serving two audiences, which I think in retrospect, you know, hindsight is 2020, but it should have just been two separate books. And I hope that at a minimum, it helps them get to sleep. And it's wherever books are sold. Amazon's probably the easiest place to track it down.
And tell me how people can find you.
Well, if you Google my name and you can't find me, you shouldn't listen to what I'm saying because I should be pretty visible. I'm one of the only customs, I think, in the digital marketing world. But my company's Solutions8, SOL8.com. We're the number one ranked Google Ads agency on the planet. You can track me down on LinkedIn. I shoot a YouTube video every single day, and that's where I'm creating most of my content. So if you go to YouTube and look for Solutions 8 or for Kasim, you should be able to track me down.
Wonderful. I love that. And you're going to hang in for a few minutes because we're going to actually do a private recording for the private Facebook group, Play Big Movement. And if those of you watching and listening right now are not part of that group, please join. It's a group that's come together organically. We have over 3,000 people that have stood up and say they want to play a bigger game. They want to be number one in their field, live their legacy, and create maximum impact. So I just am so delighted and honored that you were with me today. And I appreciate you hanging in there, Qasim. And I will let everyone else know that I support you. I'm excited to learn and I'm going to get your book. So everyone else here should too. So thank you so much.
Yes. I appreciate it. All right.
And for those of you watching and listening, thank you so much. You're fabulous. As I always say, you are fabulous. And I want you to remember to play a bigger game. Be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Go out and have a great day. Love you all. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.